Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins take to the ice today. They're at home hosting the Colorado Avalanche. It's a matinee matchup. Puck drop at 1 o'clock. Judd and Bob get you ready at 12:30 with the Duncan Bruins pregame show. Fans heading to TD Garden to watch Boston and Colorado today will not have to show their COVID-19 vaccination card to get in. TD Garden lifted its proof of vax requirement today in alignment with the city of Boston. Team LeBron scored a 163-160 win over Team Durant last night in the NBA All-Star game. Jason Tatum, your lone Celtic representative, did not play the entire fourth quarter. He finished with just 8 points in 20 minutes. Steph Curry, your MVP, he had a 50-burger, set a record with 16 three-pointers. Also, Chris Paul, who actually played last night in the All-Star game, he's going to be out the next 6 to 8 weeks with an avulsion fracture in his right thumb. That's an injury he suffered before the break. And in NFL news, according to Rap Sheet, agents representing more than 150 NFL draft prospects are organizing a boycott of all testing, on-field workouts, and interviews at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Check out the new menu at the Nines today. Try the new grilled pork ribeye steak or enjoy the return of the double barbecue turkey tips. The 99, always the real deal. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Next, check of the headlines at 8:30.
Let's go.
Get up.
It's a sports thing. Boston is known for that type of stuff.
And get in the game.
That's why they hate us, because they ain't us.
Toucher and Rich.
No, I don't want to kill anybody.
Mornings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Number three, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jones Arcan here till 10. We're taking your phone call, 617-779-0985. It was All-Star Weekend in the NBA. The game, I guess, was pretty good. You watched some of the game, you said, Arcan?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. I sort of went in and out. I watched the beginning and the intros and player intros and all that stuff. And then I caught like the very end of the game too.
Got it.
So I saw LeBron, spoiler alert, LeBron hit the game winner.
I did see that LeBron knocked down the game winner in Cleveland, of all places. You know, they have the Elam ending. If you're unfamiliar with this, they have a number that they play to. So you can have like almost like a walk-off jump shot, right? It's not at the buzzer.
Right. There's no clock in the fourth quarter. So.
Is that how it is? Is it the whole fourth quarter, or do they play to a certain point on the clock in the fourth quarter?
Maybe there was in the beginning, yeah.
And then you pick a number. I forget the exact workings of it. I didn't pretend to watch last
night. Do you like the Elam ending, by the way?
I've only seen some highlights. For something like this, sure.
I mean, I like it. That's cool.
I mean, the idea of a walk-off is cool, but a walk-off every single game, I think, would get a little, a lot redundant. So we have LeBron hitting the game winner.
LeBron out on the right. Is he trying to find Curry? No, he's going to turn. He's going to fade. And he's going to hit it for the win! The King of Cleveland returns. LeBron James winning the 71st NBA All-Star Game, 163-160.
So there you go. That's LeBron. Was it over Curry? I think it was over Curry, right?
When I watched, it was over LaVine, I think.
Oh, it was LaVine. I'm sorry. So I thought when I watched it quickly this morning, it was Curry. But I admittedly didn't pay super close attention. So LeBron hits the winner. You know, it was Curry going off. Curry had 16 threes in the game, 50 points. Tatum stunk, right? I think the pregame festivities were kind of where it was at, though, Arcan, last night. Like, I think that's what was interesting, was them honoring the 75th team, or the greatest 75 players, NBA 75, the greatest 75 players in the history of the sport. And Garnett still freezing out Ray Allen. We talked about it briefly earlier today, but Garnett is still freezing out Ray Allen. Like, there's this great video going around on social media. It's Pierce and it's Garnett, then it's LeBron, then it's Ray Allen coming out. And LeBron comes out and like hugs and daps up Ray Allen. And Pierce is kind of just like looking up at the scoreboard. Pierce isn't too bad. Garnett is like biting his lip, holding himself back. Like all that nervous Garnett energy, like twitching around and like trying to hold it down and not give in to saying something to Ray Or, I mean, I'm sure he's not going to beat up Ray Allen. I mean, Garnett never beat up anybody in his life that we saw in the NBA. He'd get in people's faces. He'd act real tough, but he never beat anybody up. So I'm sure he wouldn't beat him up. It's the NBA, for God's sakes. Closest thing you get in basketball that people beating each other up was that slap fight with Juwan Howard yesterday.
Yeah.
Which we can get to later on this hour, too.
That was something.
It really was. So, I don't know what Garnett wanted to do or what he was even going to do. It, like, I still don't know how I feel about the grudge that they hold. Like, part of me is like, I respect it. Part of me respects it because I think Ray Allen is fake and I'm no fan of Ray Allen. But the other part of me is like, he left. He won championships. Like, it was a decade ago. You guys weren't even all that great. Oh, by the way, you were a championship team, but you weren't all that great. You weren't like some legendary historic team. You were a one-off champion that got back to another NBA finals and blew it. That's all you were. So like, to still hold that grudge to me is a little odd just because he left. If that's what it is, that makes you a baby. That does make you a baby. If it's because you think Ray Allen's fake and personally you think that, you know, he carries himself a certain way and privately he's different, well, then that I can respect. But the fact that he just left to go to the Miami, you can't get over that 10 years later to the point where you're holding yourself back like he was holding himself back last night? That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I think were there any other guys that like left that team? They weren't big parts of it, but like other players left. It's not like Ray Allen was the first guy to leave the team, you know, from the 07 championship team.
I forget.
Like Posey was gone.
Tony Allen got traded.
No,
you're right. Posey left and Tony Allen was, you know, deeper down the road. I think Posey left. I think that's one that left, if I'm not mistaken.
Rondo stuck around, though. Perkins got traded. Like, for the most part, that group stayed together. And I think the idea was, this will be our last stop and we'll stay here and we'll win as much as we can. And listen, Ray Allen did the right thing. Like, he went to go win another ring and he did. And he was a good part of that team in Miami and he hit a big shot that helped him beat the Spurs that year, I think. So, like, you know, that was all in all, like, a good decision on his part. I don't think it was just that he left. I have to assume that there was something, some sort of problem. Because you remember, Ray Allen had problems with Rondo. He had problems with Doc. Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he had a big problem with Garnett or Pierce or somebody else, and they all just were like, bleep that guy, you know? Like,
I wonder what it is. I can't believe they still, if it's just him leaving, they need to get over that. If it's something more that we don't know about, well, then fine. It's something more that we don't know about. By the way, I'm being informed that Steph Curry is on LeBron's team, so that couldn't have been over Curry.
Yeah, it was not over Curry.
Which again shows how little I'm thinking of it. That's true. Dan just pointed this out. They said right in the clip that he didn't give the ball up to anybody at the end, Steph Curry included. 617-779-0985. This is an early call, I would say, for Paulie in the truck. Go ahead, Paulie.
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, what do you say, boys? The altercation yesterday, the college basketball between Juwan Howard and the Michigan coach.
Well, he's Juwan the Michigan coach.
The Wisconsin coach.
Wisconsin coach Greg Gard, yeah.
The Wisconsin coach, yes. He tried to walk past Greg. He tried to walk past him and try to ignore him. He wanted to speak with somebody else, I do believe. I don't know if he had any ill intentions. But the Wisconsin coach put his hands on him and grabbed him. And stopped him and started the argument, okay?
Suspension, yeah, so, Paulie, I would
right
just say...
I suspension for him.
I would,
Juwan Howard.
Yeah, I would say I disagree that he... Hang on, Paulie, shut up for a second. I would just say I disagree
Juwan,
that...
Let me
I disagree.
Finish.
No, and let me talk. I'm going to let you
finish.
Shut up, Paulie. Jesus. I don't think he started it.
Paulie, relax, buddy.
Juwan Howard blew him off. And so then... And Juwan Howard was saying something before they even got there. He was saying something to him before he even got there. So Juwan Howard started the whole thing. Maybe Greg Gard escalated it, but Juwan Howard started the whole thing. What's your other point? Suspend Greg Gard? Fine. Who else should they suspend?
Suspend and Juwan Howard, they broke him up after the argument started. The Wisconsin coach started the argument, suspend him, and then when they pushed people were breaking it up, but Juwan Howard stepped back in and threw a shot. He should get the proverbial salami and provolone to go from the administration of Michigan.
So he should lose his job. Okay, so I would agree. I would disagree with everything across the board for Paulie.
What about the salami and provolone?
I don't quite.
Was he working on that all morning? He had to. That was a he forced that one in.
Yeah, seriously.
Let me talk.
Maybe I'll tell you what. Maybe,
I didn't tell my awesome salami joke.
Maybe bringing Naughty Maz back fired him up. I don't know. Maybe he got the wheels turning. So anyway, I want to talk more Juwan Howard at the end of the hour. He said he wanted to talk about the Bruins there, which we were going to squeeze in as well. On the NBA All-Star Weekend, you want to get rid of the dunk contest, right, Arcand?
I'm getting there. I mean, I remember after the 0-2 one, which was a couple years, I think, after Vince Carter, everyone's like, maybe the dunk contest has run its course. And I'm glad it didn't, because there were some good ones after that. But after that thing on Saturday, I'm almost, like, over it. I'm almost over it.
So I think the dunk contest, I said this on Friday. Like, we just, you know, we just did, like, an offhand question, like, you know, what all-star event do you like the most in all of the sports? And I'm like, they're all bad now. They're all bad. So, like, just start with that. None of them are good. Okay? I mean, the NHL All-Star Weekend's never been good in terms of their events. Those are all stupid. The NBA ones all suck now. The Home Run Derby sucks now. So just start with they all suck, okay? And they're all worse than they used to be. Acknowledge that. The dunk contest, I think, still has the potential to be the best of them. This weekend, from what I saw in the highlights, and again, tuning in for like maybe 30 seconds to a minute at the time, glancing at it on Saturday night, it was terrible. It was a joke, right? Yeah. So I'm not telling you this weekend was good. Fixing the dunk contest is simple. Just get the best players in it. That's all.
And I agree, except even if you had great players in that thing on Saturday, they couldn't make a freaking dunk. Like, no one could complete one.
The great players can.
Can they?
Yes. What do you mean, can they? Of course they can.
I don't know. In a dunk contest, when you're trying to do all sorts of weird stuff, like, you know, just because...
The worst criticism of the dunk contest is all the dunks have been done. If you get the best players in the NBA, there will be some creativity. And I don't know what the league has to do. Do you write it into their contracts? Like, hey, if we ask you, you got to participate. You know, if you're healthy and we ask you to do it, you got to participate. Is that something you can even write in? Is that something the players' union would agree to without massive givebacks? I have no idea.
I don't think they would, but if you incentivize it, maybe.
Sure. There's got to be a way to do it. There's got to be, and that's plain and simple. That's it. The dunk contest would be fixed. It would be solved if you had the best players in the league. And I'm not even talking about the best dunkers. I don't care about the best dunkers per se. The biggest stars, that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be Jordan and Dominique Wilkins, and that's what it used to be. It used to be the best players, the biggest players in the league, the biggest stars.
Dwight Howard was an all-star. He was in it recently.
It's been suffering for a long time of not having a great field, but you're right. Up until like the last like 5 to 10 years, it at least had like a couple of all-stars in it. It's turned into a total joke. It's turned into either like an athletic rookie or bench scrubs. That's what it's turned into. Juan Toscano-Anderson is like the 10th man in Golden State. That's a bench scrub, right? Obi Toppin is like the 8th guy on the Knicks, the 9th guy on the Knicks. Like, it's turned into, again, a rookie who can you know, jump and just got into the league. And so they say, sure, whatever, I'll build my brand. I'll build my star power coming in. And they try to cash in that chip. But it's too early because nobody knows who the hell Jalen Green is outside of hardcore NBA fans.
But sometimes with
and
those
guys...
And
bench scrubs. And that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah. But with those young guys, sometimes they become superstars and that's part of their story.
Right,
you know?
But at the time, it won't get anybody to watch it. It doesn't matter because no one knows who they are.
That's true.
That's the problem. Maybe they eventually... Like, Zach LaVine eventually turned into a star. Team USA, all-star, all this stuff. But when he was winning dunk contests, nobody knew who the hell he was. And nobody cared. So it's easy to fix the dunk contest. I would not put a bullet in the dunk contest. I would not get rid of the dunk contest. And all these things suck. I acknowledge they all suck. None of them are good. But what I would do is just try to find a way to get, and I don't know the answer, incentivize them, put it in their contracts if that's even legally allowed. I don't even know. Get the best, the biggest stars back out there and the thing would be fixed. And the idea that all the dunks have been done, so what? You want to see the big names doing it. It'd look a lot cooler if it wasn't some bench scrub doing it and it was LeBron. Or it was, you know, Ja Morant or somebody like that doing it.
Last year, they had a kid in the G League. Remember Cassius
Stanley?
It? Cassius Stanley.
He wasn't even in the NBA.
No,
when they
and
did
he's
that?
Not even this year. He's in the G League again this year. Like, you know, can you get it like an NBA player at the very least? Can we have all NBA
so
guys?
Dan
Which
just,
it was this year. At
Dan
least.
Just made a good point. Like, maybe there could be a system like they have for Hard Knocks? That's not a bad idea, Dan. Where, like, certain players can't do it. Maybe you win an NBA championship, you don't have to do
you're
it.
You're out if you win the championship. Everyone else is in.
You're, you know, so exactly. Something like that. Like, is there some way where they did it with Hard Knocks and they got the teams to agree? Could they do that where you mousetrap these players into having to do the dunk contest outside of a select few? And maybe those select few are the exact ones you're trying to get, but at least you'd open up and broaden your horizons a little bit. 617-779-0985. We mentioned Tony Mazz is trying to get to the bottom of who Andrew Raycroft looks like. He is spending a lot of time trying to figure that out on social media. Jason Tatum also spending a lot of time on social media. And I got to be honest, I don't love the Twitter flirtation. Let's get to that right after the update.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul killing exercise.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jones, Christian Arkin, here until 10 o'clock. Taking your phone call, 617-779-0985. We'll get to Juwan Howard. That dust up yesterday. I actually had that game on, Arkin. Not because I cared much about Michigan and Wisconsin. I actually wanted to tune into the golf after, so I tuned it in a little bit early. And I was kind of watching out of the corner of my eye when all that went down. Paulie in the truck obviously was very fired up about that earlier today, as I know a lot of people are. And mixed feelings about Paulie and myself earlier. JR tweets in, listening to Jones talk over Paulie in the truck and telling him to shut up. Too early in the morning for that. He said, that's all I needed to hear. He wants Joe Murray to be filling in. See you guys next week, he says. Okay. Our buddy Wayno, this is admittedly somebody who listens quite a bit to the night program.
Yeah.
The one out there. He says, I don't like Paulie in the truck's disrespect towards Jones. He said, would he ever tell Beetle to let me finish? I think not.
That's because they play them off.
It's a good point. It's a good point. They just
drown them out with music.
They just turn music on and they all look at their computers. And then when the music turns back up, they just go back to doing what they were doing. That's true.
It's like he wasn't even there.
It's a fair point. Yeah, he gets the floor.
Yeah.
I let him back on after that. I did. It's not like I hung up on him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I eventually hung up on
him.
Thank
God you did too. We would have missed that salami drink.
Yeah, it's not like I hung up on the man. But mixed feelings. People are talking about it all over Boston, me shouting at Paulie. So Jason Tatum, Arkin, had a busy couple of days, to be honest. He was at the All-Star game where he didn't play very well last night. He was on J.J. Redick's podcast last week, The Old Man and the Three, the hilariously named Old Man and the Three. And he had a little something to say last week. Dan, if you could refresh our memories, Jason Tatum, talking about recent success that the Celtics have had here. Let's give that a listen, shall we?
Take the success for granted? Do you feel like in a way you did take it for granted?
My first year for sure. Because, you know, when you're a rookie, you don't know any better. You know, I'm on the Celtics and, you know, we got Kyrie Irving and Al and JB and Marcus Morris and Terry and Gordon, but he got hurt. I think this is just going to last forever and we're going to win a championship because we have 17. Like, I thought that was normal. I thought this was how it was supposed to be. Looking back on it, I didn't, I guess, cherish it as I probably should have. But at the same time, I didn't know any better.
Okay. So, I mean, many have commented on Jason Tatum being like so open and so honest in that interview. That's the same answer I've heard every athlete ever say. Like, you know, how many times does Dan Marino say, oh, I made a Super Bowl in my second year and I thought I'd be there every year? I thought it'd be easy. Like, that's all Tatum said there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tatum, I think, has gotten a lot of credit for being, again, open and honest in that podcast. I still think the most emotional I've heard Jason Tatum ever is either his 2K rating or whining about the $30 million that he lost out on.
When he wasn't All-NBA, right?
When he was not All-NBA, and he did that in that podcast in a separate answer. So something else that caught my eye from Tatum over the weekend, Arkin, if this makes me a bad person, then so be it. But
I love when you preempt whatever you're about to say with that.
I mean, you know, I understand. I understand that it might. I get it.
It's like saying with all due respect, you know, like, you know, whatever's coming next is going to be awful.
But I saw this tweet from Jason Tatum, and this was yesterday morning. So before the game, he says, AI, Allen Iverson, tells me every time or tells me he loves my game every time I see him. And that means everything coming from him. And I just kind of go, look, you might have liked Allen Iverson when you were a kid. I liked 13-year-old me loved Allen Iverson, our kid. Maybe it's 12-year-old me. I don't know how old I was. But I loved Iverson when I was a kid. Loved him. But I look back and I go, isn't that the kind of player we're afraid of Tatum becoming?
Sort of, yeah.
Isn't that exactly what we're afraid of?
Although if Allen Iverson was 6'9", then, you know...
No, fair point. I mean,
probably it'd be a little different, but
so
yeah.
Physically, they were very different. Their games are very different. And, you know, Iverson didn't have a ton of help around him, and he willed the team to the NBA Finals. Like, I get all that. Yeah, Tatum hasn't even
Eric
been to
Snow and Dikembe Mutombo.
Tatum hasn't even been to the Finals yet. But, like, isn't that kind of the player we're hoping that Tatum doesn't become? An inefficient shoot-first scorer who never wins? Isn't that kind of what we're afraid of?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a lot of guys you could point out that are like that, and I think with Iverson, there was... You know, there was sort of a difference between what he was accomplishing and his game and sort of the eyeball test. You know what I mean? Like, you look back at his numbers and his percentages and all that other stuff, and you sort of see that and think, oh, yeah, you know, he wasn't the greatest. Like, he was a good player, and he was definitely, for that era, one of the most popular. But the reason he was the most popular was because of how he played and the passion and the intensity and all that stuff, which Jason Tatum doesn't really
have. I mean, that's a fair point. Tatum has none of that. That's a good point. Yeah. None of it. And, like, that's not him. He doesn't have to – you don't have to manufacture it. It's not him. That was Iverson. That's not him. But, again, that's when I say he gets more emotional talking about losing out on $30 million being left off an all-NBA team. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, look, I know he revered Kobe as well. It's not like he didn't revere players who won. That wouldn't be fair to him to say. But I kind of see the Iverson thing, and I'm like, ugh. Like, I liked Iverson, too. But that's exactly what I don't want you to become. Like, all the time, people compare him to Carmelo, which is another but very similar player. Again, not in terms of how they play or body type or anything like that, but it is a shoot-first, inefficient scorer who never won.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of players I don't want Tatum becoming. So that's all I could think about when I saw that tweet. It's like, man, you like the Iverson honor, I feel like, just a little bit too much. Like, that's fine. If you like it, great. You know, I'm not saying you have to keep it to yourself, but I don't know. Maybe when the championship winners come around and dap you up and give you credit for your game. Maybe those are the guys to listen to. Maybe not Allen Iverson.
Maybe. I don't know who else was saying that, but, I mean, Iverson was there, and, you know, with the 75th anniversary, it was obviously a big deal, and I don't know. I mean, I think that's, if it was me, I'd be like, yeah, it's a pretty cool compliment to get there, so I don't have a problem with it. And, yes, you are a bad person.
I mean, look, again, I just maybe listen to guys who won. Maybe listen to guys who shot, you know, a higher percentage than Allen. I liked Allen Iverson.
Well, you should listen to Robert Horry then.
But again, I liked him when I was 12.
Robert Horry has like 10 rings.
I liked him when I was 12. No. Don't bastardize the argument. Listen to guys who won, who are like in your realm of superstardom, at least in his mind. Like, you know, listen to those guys. Those would be the guys to listen to. I was no fan of Kobe. I know he's not here to give him credit anymore, but like that would be a better role model to listen to. From a basketball standpoint.
Maybe it is, but when the whole thing with Kobe happened, everyone's like, oh, no, Tatum's too much like Kobe now. He's acting too much like Kobe.
Well, those are
the same thing.
Those are baby Celtics fans. Those are baby Celtics fans hating that he was fraternizing with a Laker.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So it sounded like the same guy. Oh, Kobe was selfish. He was a ball hog. He took all these shots.
No. My only criticism was Kobe off the court, and, you know, rest in peace. But, you know, not the greatest guy. So, you know, that was my criticism of it at the time. I think the reason most Celtics fans were upset about that was because it was Celtics-Lakers. Do you believe Tatum? We talked about this a lot late last week. Do you believe Tatum when he says, you know, him and Brown are going to be here and they want to play together?
No, I don't believe that. I mean, I believe that they may have had that conversation and... You know, we're like, yeah, sure, we're under contract. We're not going anywhere. Like, why would we go somewhere? And, you know, maybe they don't want to get traded to a worse team than they're in right now. I mean, I could see that being the case, too, because as lousy as it's been the last year and a half with the Celtics, the grass can be, you know, not as green on the other side. And that's something Tatum said. He's like, well, the grass isn't always greener, you know. And I hear that, and I think that's not something you say when you definitely want to stay together.
No, exactly.
That's something you say when you're trying to convince the fans, we want to stay together.
I've
come on, fans, the grass isn't always greener. It's like, yeah, but do you want to play with them or not?
Yeah.
Like, that's the argument here, not what the fans think.
I've said this before, so Dan has this. Let's listen to it. Because, yeah, you imagine saying that. Hey, well, you know, I was thinking about cheating on my wife, but the grass isn't always greener.
Right.
It's basically the same idea. You know, I mean, honey, I thought about it, but the grass isn't always greener. Here's Tatum again from Reddick's podcast.
We've had plenty of talks. I think it's really picked up this year, especially in the beginning of the season. Like, we asked each other, like, yo, do you want to be here? And we both was like, yeah. He was like, bro, I don't understand. And I was like, man, this, you really think about it, we've had way more success together than, you know, this year and you know, what we didn't accomplish last year. JB's been to 3 conference finals. I've been to 2. Like you said, I think we're both still very far from our prime. And I think what people don't understand is like, all right, if you want to break us up, the grass is not always greener.
So, look, I think he would go on to say there that, what was the line? There aren't a lot of players better than JB.
Right.
Which means there are players better than Jalen.
And me, of course.
Well, and he I was just going to say, he right. even went to, like, you know, sort of separate himself out even from Jalen. He said, I think, you know, you could disagree, but I think I'm one of the greatest players in the league. And so there is a difference. And so, all right, fine. I mean, the grass isn't always greener. But what if you could get Lillard? What if you could get Bradley Beal? Does he consider those to be better players than Jalen? He said there's not a lot of them. He didn't say there's none of them. So I don't buy it either. And, of course, the big unspoken thing is, what if Jalen doesn't want to be in someone else's shadow? You know, Jalen's out of the All-Star game in a lot of ways because Tatum's on the same team. And the Celtics were mediocre enough where they don't deserve 2 All-Stars. If Jalen were putting numbers up like this on his own mediocre team, he'd be an All-Star. But the Celtics weren't going to get 2 this year. They shouldn't have got 2 last year. So does Jalen want to stay in the shadow of Tatum? You know, maybe Jason Tatum is saying, yeah, I'll stick it out with Jalen until we can get somebody really good. Somebody in my realm, the upper echelon of the NBA. And it's not his call. If Jalen wants out, they're not going to stay together. And, you know, Steve Bulpet, who I think we all agree has been one of the more accurate Bruins beat reporters, Celtics beat reporters, rather, over the last, I don't know, 20, 25, 30 years, says Jalen may want out. 617-779-0985. Here is the update from Christian Arcan. And we're right back with everything that went down yesterday between Juwan Howard and Michigan, that little slap fight. We'll get to that next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Turn Rich.
I just want you to go, yeah. And like, oh yeah. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
.39 here on the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich. No Fred, no Rich. Jones and Arcan here until 10. Taking all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. If you're unfamiliar with what went down yesterday between the University of Michigan and the University of Wisconsin, Wisconsin blew out Michigan in the game. Blew them out in the second half anyway. Greg Gard, the Wisconsin head coach, called a couple of timeouts in the final minute. One was to get all his scrubs in, like literal like walk-ons into the game. And the other was with like 15 seconds left, 13 seconds left, something like that. They had turned the ball over with Michigan full court pressing, which I think is an important part of the story. Greg Gard calls a timeout, gets his scrubs in there. Michigan full court presses them. Wisconsin turns the ball over. Guard calls another timeout to make sure his scrubs know how to break the press, right? All his walk-ons who never play.
Right.
Break the press. Game ends. Wisconsin in a blowout. How does it sound? It goes smoothly in the aftermath, I'd imagine, with Howard and guard, right?
Juwan Howard not going over immediately to shake hands. Now he's going to get in the line. Interesting finish here. 77.
So the announcers knew something was up.
Yeah.
The announcers knew something was up before that even happened. Like I said, Arkin, I had this on in the background earlier because I wanted to watch the golf after it. I didn't realize they kind of knew that was happening already. I didn't realize that was part of it. I did notice watching the footage that it was Howard wasn't the first one through the line. I noticed that. I didn't realize he was kind of like off to the side.
I think he was at the very back. Yeah.
So anyway, keep going.
Juwan Howard not going over immediately to shake hands. Now he's going to get in the line. Interesting finish here. 77. Oh, see, and they're going at it.
Oh, yeah.
Howard and guard are not happy right now. As the two of them continue to have words, we told you Juwan Howard was not happy about
CBS is running out of music.
I know.
Okay, so quickly, if you haven't seen it, he didn't throw a right hand. I mean, he slapped him effectively. Yeah. And that was the assistant coach, Joe Krabenhoft, I think his name was. That's not the other head coach.
Krabenhoft.
It was Krabenhoft who really got under his skin. But just so you know, he didn't throw a punch. Let's not go around saying he threw a punch. He slapped at him. I mean, it was still kind of shocking to see a coach do that.
Yeah.
But
Rick James.
But he didn't throw a hook at him or anything. Was there any more there, Dan?
And now we got a scrum. We have a scrum in Madison. Players are pushing and shoving. This is an ugly scene. This is an ugly scene.
Oh my God.
Trying to get separated, and there's no doubt it all stems from the timeout by Greg Gard. Now, that's not an excuse for this, but that is what angered Juwan Howard.
Okay. So we actually have proof of that's Andrew Catalan. We actually have proof of what he's saying. I think we can skip over the rest of the play-by-play if there's any more of it left there, Dan, and maybe we can get to Juwan Howard after the game. Juwan Howard confirmed what the announcers there, Andrew Catalan and whoever was the analyst next to him, were saying, but this is what Juwan Howard had to say after the game.
I didn't like the timeout being called, and I'll be totally honest with you. I thought it was not necessary at that moment, especially being in a large lead. And then for have a timeout to be called with 3 seconds or 4 seconds to go, I thought that was, what I felt wasn't fair to our guys. And so that's what happened.
Okay, so first of all, it wasn't a timeout with 3 or 4 seconds left. That's already how you know somebody's lying, is when they're like embellishing. They're like, oh, yeah. What was it, 13, 14, 15 seconds left? I forget the exact time, but I know it wasn't 3 or 4 seconds. When you shave 10 seconds off of it to make your point,
yeah.
That's how I know you're lying. The other part, how many people have picked up on this? I haven't seen this a lot. I've seen a lot of people say, oh, it was a timeout, what they just said. Juwan Howard was full court pressing. Thank you. They were pressing. So what do you mean you didn't like how it was handled at the end of the game? Greg Gard calls timeout. The head coach of Wisconsin calls timeout. Gets the scrubs in there. Okay, that's a little emasculating, so I understand. And Juwan Howard, your team blows. You're on the bubble,
yep.
Right? They're like 500 in the Big Ten. They're barely over 500 overall. They're on the bubble. So maybe he's feeling it a little bit already, right? Not that I think he'd get fired with a bad season, but maybe he's feeling the pressure of making the tournament. And already he's like, well, screw this. So he calls a timeout to get his scrubs in there, which is emasculating. Fine. Gets him in there and you press. You press. And then you're confused when they call timeout after that. It's like, look, if you wanted to just play out the string. Don't full court press. If you're going to full court press and treat it like a game, then we're going to treat it like a game. And we're going to try to break your press with our backups and our walk-ons. That's what we're going to do. The other thing I've heard is that Juwan Howard didn't start the physical nature between the two of them.
That's ridiculous.
Which I don't agree with either, Arkan. That's kind of what Paulie in the truck was saying. I mean, Juwan Howard instigated the whole thing. That's how I would say it. Did Greg Gard kind of grab him? Sure. Greg Gard kind of grabbed him.
He kind of put his hand out, and then Howard grabbed him by the shirt.
After Juwan Howard blew him off and said something to him, he was talking smack to him before that. So, like, who started the whole thing? Howard. And then Gard grabbed him a little bit, kind of stuck his hand out, grabbed his hand a little bit, maybe is the better way of saying it. And then from there, Howard really escalated things by slapping the other assistant there, Joe Krabenhoff. So if you want to tell me Greg Gard deserves to be suspended too, fine. suspend him too. If you want to suspend the Wisconsin coach just because, you know, they're both supposed to be adults and they're both acting like children, fine. Suspend them both.
No.
And I don't want Juwan Howard to lose his job, Arcand, but that guy needs to sit for a little bit. I don't know how many regular season games are left, but at least for the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, striking somebody else, you know, without...
As a coach.
As a coach, is you can't do that. I mean, you definitely can't do that. And I don't know about firing, but I don't know what the rules are in NCAA. I think they're probably a little bit different when it comes to stuff like that, just because, you know, it's the nature of the college athletics, but... You know, for the idea, I don't think if it was just Guard and Howard and they had that little thing and then everybody gathered around and, you know, it was a little pushing and shoving, I don't think anybody would have got suspended or anybody would have gotten in trouble and it wouldn't have been that big a story. The only reason why it's a big story is because after that started to simmer down, this other guy walked over and Juwan Howard slapped him. That's why it happened. That's who should get in trouble for it. That was the thing that was beyond the pale. Anything that happened before that was just kind of whatever. It didn't register for me.
Yeah.
It didn't register until he slapped him. It's like the Marchand thing. So a little punch to the side of the head, that's not good.
Would have been minimal.
The stick in the face mask. That's why you got suspended, Brad. That's the real reason. Well, it's the same thing with Howard.
And not being able to calm down.
Yeah.
Like Juwan, like, all right, people already separated you.
Yeah, relax. Okay?
You're already separated. And then you still gotta throw a slap in there. So you don't think the Wisconsin coach should be suspended?
No.
I'd give him a game. You're supposed to be an adult too. I'd give him a game or two. That's fine. I'd say Howard should get the last five games. You know, if he comes back for the Big Ten tournament, fine. If he comes back for the NCAA tournament, if they make it, fine. But they have five games left. Rutgers, Illinois, Michigan State, Iowa, Ohio State. And Rutgers, I know, is also on the bubble, and three other teams there are ranked. I don't know how Iowa's been this year. But, like, that's a lot to lose your coach for. I'd say I don't think he should lose his job. I don't think anything like that. Although, Dan, what were you telling me in my ear? The Ward manual, is that the AD's name?
Yeah, I was trying to find the quote. He was not happy. They issued a comment afterwards in literally which he said he had already spoken to and called the Wisconsin president of the university, the AD, and apologized.
Yeah.
Like, he was going a little bit over the top in terms of what he was saying about, like, all of the blame, you know, is on us. He said they will await further... you know, information to determine what kind of action needs to be taken.
Yeah, I'd say at least those five games. And if you miss the Big Ten tournament, that's you know, maybe that isn't too much either. That's kind of like an undefinable amount of time. Like, you don't know how far Michigan's going to go, though the way they're playing, they're probably going to get bounced in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament. But yes, like, I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever seen. I don't want to over-dramatize it, but, like, he should be suspended. Can't run around slapping assistant coaches like that.
You definitely can't. And that's really going to, you know, they're not a good team anyway. Michigan kind of stinks this year anyhow. But Juwan Howard was considered, you know, he was considered for pro jobs last year. Remember in the offseason, people talking about him is leaving Michigan to go be an NBA coach. And I have to think that's probably going to take a chunk out of those prospects.
I would think that doesn't help. I would agree that doesn't help matters.
Although you never see NBA coaches fighting each other. It's always college coaches. Remember, like, Calipari and John Chaney?
John Chaney, yeah,
you
sure.
Know? Like, you see that once in a while. You don't see NBA coaches fight each other that much.
So Dan just asked, they don't have an official handshake line in the NBA. They do not.
Because they all muddle around half court and just, you know, high-five each other because they're all friends.
College
but
and
in
high
college,
school.
You have to line up and be a good sportsman, like, at the end of an NHL series.
Yeah,
I love
you
that.
You have to.
College, high school, you know, little league, you have to line up and do it. After a playoff hockey series, you have to do it. I would get rid of handshake lines entirely. I don't see any reason for it. And I certainly, you know, am not one to fawn over the pageantry after an NHL series. Of, you know, the 4 seed and the 5 seed, the pageantry of those two shaking hands afterwards and calling
put her there.
All right, exactly. I don't like you, but I do. Damn it, if I don't respect you, put her there, partner. Like, I have no need for that. And that's after a playoff series. I certainly don't need it after some stupid regular season game in college basketball. So you want to make a case to get rid of those? I'd be on board with that too. 617-779-0985. All your thoughts on the slap heard round college basketball. We'll continue to that. And somebody keeps throwing road cones into the...
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Charles, let's get to that next.
We're coming up on 9 o'clock, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Christian Arcan. Here until 10, no Fred, no Rich, all week, I believe. Although I think Wallach makes a return end of the week, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong in saying that, Dan? Is he back?
No, I'm sorry. Sure. You saw me kind of like shrug my shoulder up. Yeah, like take the 2 days, like the two more days.
Well, that confused me a little bit.
Take the
too.
Whole week. I mean, I know it's school vacation week, but we brought this up on the air the other day. He generally doesn't go away. We were trying to figure out when the last time he perhaps was on an airplane non-business related.
Because he's gone out
and done some Celtics games.
Right,
for
that's
work.
True.
So for non-business, perhaps with the family.
Yep.
When was the last time he had been on a plane? And he couldn't remember.
Because they drive to the shore, right? That's like his big yearly trip.
He does the shore. He's got relatives in Kennebunkport up in Maine.
Okay.
But he does have relatives on the West Coast out in Seattle, but he hasn't done that yet.
He couldn't remember the last time he flew.
Could not remember the last time he had been on a plane that was non-business.
People were smoking cigarettes on the plane. That's a lot.
He's on Pan Am.
Yeah. I mean, you've flown much more recently than I have, Arcan, right? You flew fairly recently.
Yeah, I just flew down to Florida.
I haven't flown since last summer. I'll be flying later this week. I haven't flown since last summer, but I remember it at least. It's not like it's been eons and eons where, again, they were smoking on flights.
Sorry, for the days, and I know he does, John's a hustler. He's got the side hustle.
Yep.
He may have some other things going on, but just to not take those 2 days, and then when you left here last Friday, you knew you weren't coming back for nine or 10 days. You didn't have to be back till a week from Monday.
Yep.
He'll be back on Thursday.
He's got to save an extra 2 days to drive down and back to the shore. You got to save it for the driving later on in the summer.
And if you know John at all of a sudden Christmas time comes around, and lo and behold, John has 42 days that he hasn't taken. So, you know, in mid-December, he's like, I'm out of here. And I'm like, where are you going? He's like, Natick.
Well,
okay.
Sounds like
so
Jeremy.
Not really going anywhere.
I was about to say, now, maybe John has an alibi for this next story, or maybe not. I mean, if he's local. Ooh. Maybe Wallach does not have an alibi for is this on the Longfellow Bridge? I actually meant to ask this. Where are people?
This is the Longfellow Bridge, Salt and Pepper Bridge. Yeah.
People are hucking road cones off the Longfellow Bridge into the icy Charles. Let's hear. I think this is Channel 7 with their rendition of the events of what's been going on here over the last few weeks.
Newly obtained video shows two people throwing traffic cones from the Mass Ave Bridge into the Charles River. You can see them on surveillance footage from January picking up the cones one after the other and launching them over the edge. Once they cleared one side, they went to the other and did the same thing.
So they're
it's
just
ridiculous.
So like, they're just throwing them over and over again. It's not just like this is a premeditated plan. It's not just, hey, I'm walking by, I'm drunk, I'm hucking a road cone in, because that's funny.
That's funny at 2 a.m. Yes. No,
right.
These are coordinated.
Yeah.
Planned attacks.
This is like down with the traffic cones.
Yes.
It's like a movement.
Charles River Winter Olympics.
So we were saying this earlier. Is this something you guys have ever done? This feels like something Toucher and Rich may have done, and maybe it's even inceptioned itself into my brain, but like a mass hole Olympics. You guys ever done like a mass hole Olympics?
Not necessarily, no. We've found, you know, we've done townie tests. We've done things that people, street audio and stuff like that.
So exactly.
But in terms of those types of things, no.
So like, you know, that does feel like a real mass hole Olympic type of event, like the road cone toss into the Charles.
Oh, this would be you see the guys on, you know, when they whip around, what are they doing in the Olympics? The Summer Olympics.
Yeah, like the hammer throw or
the
something
hammer,
like that.
This is the hammered throw, you know?
Exactly.
But it's not, because if you watch the video, these two gentlemen are coordinated. Like you said, they start on one side of the bridge and then they sprint across the other side.
Like they've done it before.
This is ostensibly all about the bike lanes, right? People are very upset about the bike lanes.
Very upset about the bike lanes.
Which by me at least, the bus lanes are more the dedicated bus lanes to me are more of an issue than the bike lane. There is one specific dedicated bus lane on the North Washington Street Bridge, right by the Garden. That is a traffic nuisance for me.
Have you seen sort of a bus lane and then a bike lane on the outside of that, then park? Like, there's insanity in Cambridge and Somerville like that.
So there is, I haven't seen that. I was telling you off the air of some of the parking that I've seen in Somerville, or the bike lanes that I've seen in Somerville that are like not, they're not road cones. They're like built into the road.
Slalom sticks.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe this is why they don't want people running off and hucking them into the water. But I'm trying to think of like other masshole Olympic events that you could do along with the tossing of the road cone. Like, I know what the uniform would be. It'd be like a Winter Olympics. You'd be wearing, you know, your cutoff shorts outside in the like, that's a real masshole.
In a Larry
route,
Bird
right?
jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who can, exactly, something like that. Like, who can wear their shorts outside in the coldest for the longest? That would be like a good masshole event.
Yeah, you'd have to have,
you know, and we love them dearly, but you'd have to have a Dunkin' in one hand.
Yep.
And whatever you were doing would have to occupy your other hand. So it'd have to be something one-handed.
Dunks in one hand, smoking a butt in the other, and
like
you have
Affleck, like Ben Affleck picture.
Exactly. And you got to figure out how to maneuver all of these other events, like throwing a road cone into the Charles, things like this. Mm-hmm. Of course, in your cutoff jeans and the freezing cold.
Space Savers in Southie, I thought of.
Yeah, that's a good
during
one.
During a snowstorm, you're out there, and after the 48 hours, you're like, oh no, I need this spot. And then someone comes out and says, no, I got to
defend my territory. That's a good one. Yeah. A potentially very dangerous one, but I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it. I love that people get this mad at the bike lanes. Like, I do find that amusing.
That video is pretty hysterical because the first guy that picks it up, he launches it. Like, he goes into a full-blown, two-handed, you know, I'm making sure that these are getting into the river. But apparently, if you, you know, read anything about it, there's hundreds of them that are over the past couple of weeks that they've tossed into the river. And then, of course, some, you know, Mass DOT guy has to go get them or somebody has to go retrieve them.
If they're not careful, they're going to pollute that river. I mean, I'll tell you what, if they don't start taking things seriously, that gem of a river that we have here is going to be awfully polluted.
Are we sure it's the Longfellow Bridge? Because doesn't the red line go on the Longfellow Bridge?
It does, but I think...
And there's going to be bike lanes there, too?
Oh, you know what, Arkan, you might be right.
So is it not the Longfellow?
Because it's in the middle of the Longfellow Bridge.
Now that you said it, it was the Mass Ave Bridge. She did say that.
There wouldn't be enough room for that on that one. I apologize. You wouldn't be able to cross over.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, you can't be crossing over the tracks. Good point.
So Third rail. Yeah, you'd get electrocuted.
I misspoke. Another masshole Olympic event, potentially. But yes.
Dodging the third rail?
I had my bridges mixed up. But I love the people that are all upset at the bike lanes. Like, do you think if we got rid of the bike lanes, there'd be no traffic? I don't pass a bike lane on my commute in. Do you know what I do? Sit in traffic the whole way. Half the time, I sit in traffic on the way home because we have lanes shut down. Like, this is at 11 o'clock at night on Friday. I was sitting in all kinds of traffic on the way home. So it's like, do you think magically we get rid of bike lanes, we're not going to have any traffic here anymore? Like, honestly, what are you so upset about? There's going to be traffic. It's a city. There's going to be traffic. Do the bike lanes help? I acknowledge they don't help. But people getting this upset and this butthurt over them where they're throwing hucking road cones into the river, there's going to be traffic. I'm telling you, there's going to be. I guarantee it. I sit on 93. I sit in the tunnel. There's no bike lanes in the tunnel. I sit in that thing the whole way. There's plenty of traffic.
So real quick, recently, it was almost like a Home Alone thing in Cambridge when they instituted this bike lane.
Yep.
Somebody was laid out hundreds of tacks. It was like, you know, for the bikes.
Oh, nice.
And they would get flat tires. But then the best part was, I mean, not that I'm laughing, but they were putting bricks in the road, you know, in the bike path.
Oh, boy.
So as you're coming up on them at a high rate of speed on your bicycle, you hit the brick.
Like you got to dodge them like Excite Bike.
Well, it was like the kid in Big Daddy. Yes.
Yeah.
Then you hit the bricks because over the you go right over the front handlebars.
It's like the kid in Big Daddy. We need him to grow from throwing sticks into the bikes, or in the case of Steve Buscemi, his little garbage can there is whatever that thing was, the dumpster that he was rolling around in. We need him to mature to holding a sign up and telling him to slow down.
Yes.
Those are rollerbladers, right? I think those are rollerbladers that Adam Sandler didn't like.
I just thought of another Olympic event, masshole Olympic event.
Yes.
For the ladies only.
Okay.
Walking through the cobblestones in Faneuil Hall with high heels.
Yes.
Because that is always a challenge. That's always a tough thing for them to do. And they managed to do it somehow.
Yep.
That event would be held after midnight.
Well, I was going to say, what time of day are we holding this?
Oh, it's like 2 in the morning outside of Ned Devine's.
You might even be able to hold it at like 10 a.m. It might even be like a next morning thing. 617-779-0985. We'll, of course, take any and all suggestions for the Mass Hole Olympics, which I'm going to leave the Toucher and Rich, I think, to organize. I think they'll like that responsibility. Arcan, with all the latest here in your Hub headlines, and we'll be right back.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season. It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.